is the leader of one of the great building companies in the country, HLM Architects and Engineers. You're going to be talking about it a lot. Seven locations in and around the New York, New Jersey area. They hire year-round as well. Check it out, hlm.com/careers. The fine president, one of the best CEOs as well, Richard Heumann. And we say a very good morning. Sir, how are you?
I am doing fantastic this morning. Other than the weather, it's the day before Halloween. I've got my costume on. I won't tell you what it is. It's a big surprise. But, you know, extremely interesting times right now, I would say, at a minimum. So, otherwise, things are good. How are you?
I can only guess the costume. You know what? I'm going to write a few things down, maybe tell you at the end. If I guess it right, you tell me. I'm doing well. We're closing in on a big election, obviously. The people are engaged. 80 million Americans, the latest count. They have shattered records beyond belief. We'll probably go about 165 million. I think that'll be the number. But you kind of get a feel for a lot of different things right now. As you know, we're just a few days out, 3 days and change, Richard Heumann.
You know, I think that we were talking maybe a couple of months ago about how great it would be if the American people got unbiased information. We want all of our citizens to be informed voters, and I'm getting more and more cynical, I think, in terms of just what the environment is like and how information gets presented to us. So at the end of the day, hopefully people think about not only what's best for the country, but what's best for themselves and their families, and they vote, the way that they want to vote, as opposed to, just voting in a block.
The reason I think the numbers are there is because I think people realize there's never going to be an election of this magnitude from the top of the mountain all the way down to the bottom on all fronts, And I think that they know everything is at stake right now. Every human being who is eligible to vote knows there's an opportunity here. And that's what it's about right now. It's in that mindset, I mean, perfect example, my kids never have become more engaged in an election than this one. They're going to participate today in early voting. I mean, that's how big it is. And they never talk politics with me. And they talk politics with me every day. It's unbelievable. So that's how I kind of gauge a little bit of how important this thing is,
I agree. My household's the same way. We talk about it often. You can't avoid it, frankly. I'm sure when you talk to your kids and I talk to my kids, I say the same thing. Be informed. Understand. At the end of the day, you're rarely going to agree 100% with either candidate, regardless of what elected office they're running for. But, your philosophy needs to best align with the philosophy of the candidate you're going to vote for. And, that is about the best way to go about it. That's what I tell my two girls to do. I think they do. But I agree with you. I think that the engagement is great. And it's such a shame that the cause of the engagement is everything that you said. Not only is it a tipping point for the country, but it's also the negativity and the divisiveness that is forcing people to get engaged, as opposed to being supportive of civic duty. I think people are afraid. If I don't vote, then, the wrong person is going to win, and how's that going to affect me?
When you look at past elections and everything else, every vote counts. You don't have to go far. Gore And Bush, way back, Rich, you know, I mean, you know, every vote counts. We know every vote counts, especially in the state of Florida. My goodness. But, you know, in essence, I think the word you used is a key word, and that is afraid. People don't want to be left out here. And people cannot be true to themselves and engage in a conversation thereafter if you haven't placed your vote yet, because you have nothing to complain about because you didn't vote. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And that's why I think people are out there in droves as far as, you know, the early voting, and especially on Long Island, you know, the 27 locations in and around Nassau and Suffolk, you know, every one of them is being utilized. Lines around and everything else as far as corners, people are waiting hours sometimes. They got to get that vote in. They know they have to get the vote in. They don't want to wait. You know, they don't want to wait till Tuesday. And I don't blame them. And that's why you have seen from the get-go these numbers. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's well, you know, the fact that people understand a willingness, you know, if your sacrifice to vote is 3 or 4 hours out of your day, and you're willing to do it, and clearly people have demonstrated their willingness to do it, you know, that's a good sign, you know, and you're never going to have the candidate you vote for win every time. But you've got to be in the game every time. And, you know, if you're not, then I agree. You know, you lose a bit of your ability to complain about the outcome if you're not participating.
Jim and my guests, President and CEO, HOM Architects and Engineers, one of the great building companies around. They've been around forever, 87-plus years. That's right, 87 years. Where Mr. Human claimed the baton. No, not 80 years ago. But, you know, more like 16. I think it's 16 or 17 years ago, actually, now. I might be wrong. Off a year or so. He will correct me. But when I look at what you guys do, I look at the economy, I'm seeing some signs of a rebound with the GDP and everything else at 33.1. The jobless claims are going down here on the island. They're kind of virtually remaining the same somewhat. Down just a few, maybe 14 claim difference. Nationally, we see it. So it's getting better. There are some jobs that employers had to cut out because of this pandemic. But I am seeing a little bit of the positive nature of it all, Rich, when it comes to the economics, you know?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I feel even a little bit better than that, frankly. And I was thinking about it, you know, this morning, you know, knowing we would touch on it today, the GDP rebound is significant. And, the consumer spending is significant and the consumer confidence is significant. And even though, unemployment is still a challenge for us, this is all on the heels of, you know, a failed next step by the Fed to put out the next phase of their rescue package in the CARES Act. And I honestly didn't know, what the GDP rebound would look like. And, paying attention to some of the economists over the last week with a strong rebound, I think I'll say, at least for me, you know, my confidence for the end of 2020 was bolstered a bit by this. I was talking about, you know, my uncertainty for 2021, what I thought that was going to look like, so to me, you know, this is another really critical stepping stone for the economy, and I think it also reinforces the fact that we went into this pandemic with a strong economy. You know, you can't recover that quickly in one quarter unless your foundation is strong. So I think, for business owners, you know, in the industries that just didn't get, you know, obliterated, by the pandemic and loss of travel and loss of people just leaving their houses, industries like mine, there's a much right, I think, than maybe I would have thought a month ago. So I feel better today, frankly, about it.
Yeah, you know, that GDP numbers, and I've said this, you know, forever, that's the number you look at. You know, it's okay to look at the numbers on the Dow, how it ended. at 4 o'clock and how the futures is shaping up. But it's really that GDP you look at, because that's unbelievable. 33.1. Consider the fact how far you were down. You were down 34 with the annual average going way back when this thing started, this pandemic. I mean, that is amazing to creep back to where it is. And, you know, you think of the local aspect of things, your business and everything else, and you look as far as the help that's needed, Rich. You know, you look at Suffolk County, the county exec has threatened to peel back $20 million off the police force. I don't know if that was a good idea saying that, but we got to plug some holes here. How do you think it shapes up down the road here? They need help, federal help. Lee Zeldin has done a tremendous job securing a lot of dollars here. You've had CARES money here, $257 million or so. How it was allocated, that's another story. But in essence, how do you repair the holes here now? How do you plug them? How do you fix things if you don't get the help from Washington?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you 100%. I think pressure is coming. You know, there's bipartisan pressure at the federal level to provide financial support to state and local governments. And you know, New York has been hit as hard as any state in the country. Something's going to get done. It's not going to get done soon enough. And I think that, unfortunately, for people like Steve Ballone and Laura Curran, who still need to manage their budget, you can't anticipate it. So you have to start to put plans in place to manage expenses. You know, it's a simple balance. You know, you're either looking to be more effective or cut expenses, or you've got to raise revenue. And the way to raise revenue is to raise taxes. I don't think any of them are interested in you know, kicking people when they're down and raising taxes. So, you know, they're trying to squeeze on the expense side, and it's a difficult equation. It really is. But you know, the elected officials need to make tough decisions. They're not going to be popular at all, but they have no choice. And, you know, when the feds come through, because I believe they not only should they have to come through, well, then, you know, a lot of the planning, you know, can be supported by revenue coming in from the federal government. So I don't think there's any other way for the elected officials to go if their budget's really got significantly impacted by loss of revenue, then they're doing the things they have to do.
No question, Rich Human. My guest, H2M, what a company, architects and engineers. And especially, you know, look at the, and I was speaking about the MTA the last couple of days. They need a $12 billion bailout here. And they're cracking down. They might have some layoffs and cuts, and you know, the end all is always the rate hike. You know, those fares are going up. You know they are. And, you know, we talk about this all the time, 4% every other year. You're going to see more. But the fact of the matter is, you know, with ridership, you know, that's another telling point right there. Ridership and the LIRR is down so much. How do you possibly, if you're trying to entice the would-be commuter to come back, but it's hard when you're working at home now, right? If you can work at home and get away with it, why spend the near $400 a month in riding the train, parking the car, and everything else? But, you know, that's something you also got to kind of pinpoint as seeing what happens here. Because if the MTA doesn't get that money, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I think there's you know, short-term triage that needs to get done, and then there's going to be the development of a long-term strategy for the railroad, because it's not going to be the same. You know, I think a combination of people that, if they're not commuting back into the city, and they will be at some point, they're going to get accustomed to driving their car. I know that there are people today that are commuting into the city and just, they had always commuted on the railroad. They're not anymore. They're driving in. So there's, you know, a portion of historic ridership that's going to be affected by that. And what you said as well, I mean, there are major businesses that have either relocated themselves out of the city. That's happening. And employees that are working from home, and major corporations that still haven't decided if they're going to go back. You know, I've had conversations with some CEOs of some big companies, and you know, their approach moving forward is people will be working from home indefinitely. You know, until someone sees that it's truly affecting the performance of their business. And you know, there's going to be a reimagining of the railroad. I don't know. It's another huge challenge for our region, because it's so significant to us. But and I'm sure, you know, they're all, you know, being dominated by these kind of conversations and thinking. So, you know, yes, they need rescue now, but they're also going to look different moving forward.
No question. A couple of minutes remain with the great Rich Human, HOA Architects and Engineers, part of that HIA, you know, from way back. And, you know, when I think of HIA in the Silicon Valley, two engines, opposite ends of the spectrum, they are the ones to deliver economic success on both coasts here. Give us an idea what's happening via the HIA right here in our backyard. And how fundamentally sound it is, where we at going forward with everything?
So we just had a board meeting last week, or I think it was last week or earlier this week. It's Friday, right? You know, HIA has done a tremendous job during the pandemic and continued to demonstrate its value to its members. Looking to innovate itself, looking to figure out new ways to touch the companies that it supports. You know, the people that are involved are very engaged. So, you know, I look at that organization as one that, you know, has struggled through, and you know, as businesses struggle, that organization also struggled. But during its struggles, you know, did a really nice job in understanding, you know, how to continue to interact with its membership short term, and then think through the things that it is going to need to do to look at a little bit different long term. So there's going to be some cool stuff coming out of that organization. I've got confidence in that group. I've got confidence in Terry also. So I think it's going to be stronger, you know, once we really get settled into what the business community is going to look like moving forward. I think it'll be a stronger group.
No question. And, you know, you mentioned Terry. What a job she does, Terry Lesmaselli. Just incredible. I don't know. If she wasn't there, I don't know where that thing would be. I'll tell you, it is incredible the work that they do, and you as well. Give us a minute or so regarding what's happening within the confines of the great H2M. How busy are you? Where are we at as far as the overall structures and everything else? And give us a little bit of a look into the future with all the projects and everything.
Sure. You know, so it's funny. we mimic the GDP recovery, I think, a little bit. You know, we had a really tough second quarter. We had a significantly better third quarter. I'm expecting us to have a strong fourth quarter. I'm going through my budgeting for 2021 now with the leadership across the organization, understanding where the projects are, where the opportunities are. And, you know, looking like I'm going to see some pretty decent growth in 2021. So that's all really positive. I'm going to be looking to get ourselves back to what has been our norm over the last, 6 to 8 years, where we're providing lots of opportunities for employees. We're hiring, looking to provide career paths for, you know, those in the organization that are looking to grow and get more. So I'm excited about that. And the projects keep moving on. You know, we took a significant piece of our resource and put it towards COVID response. You're working with municipalities, working with a lot of our private clients, you know, building managers, landlords, to support them in, you know, how do we get ourselves back to, you know, a sense of occupying space, the school districts. We work closely with our school districts to help them as best as we could, because we knew there were going to be challenges there. And, you know, so the engagement is really high. The opportunities are going to be there. I see the project work continuing. I think the infrastructure is going to continue to get focused. You know, we'll be a part of that. But that, you know, that element, you hear a lot of that also. And there's going to be continued investment at the state and local level. Hopefully the federal government, you know, does what they have been talking about. And it seems like, you know, both sides are interested in getting a significant infrastructure package out. So, you know, that's all good stuff. That's all good stuff, not just for our company and the employees here, but it's also good for our regional economy. And so I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic about where I think, you know, we can move Long Island for the rest of this year, and I'm optimistic for next year. And you know, my parentheses to that is the feds need to come through with support for state and local government.
Have to. No question about it. Can't do it without it. And by the way, you have to be optimistic. Could be a day of optimism for you today if Steve Cohen is voted in as the official owner of your beloved New York Mets and the $2.4 billion sale, my friend, is completed. The only issue I see with that is be careful what you wish for regarding JT Realmuto, because he is not a New York fan. So you think if he will be catching Mr. DeGrom there. Be careful, because from what I understand, he is not keen on New York. But you know what? Congratulations on the sale of new ownership, though.
Yeah, well, the good news is that for most MLB players, money does talk. So one way or another,
it's true.
I feel like if he wants him, he will get. CeCe Sabathia didn't really love New York either, and look what happened. So we've got to, we got it's a fresh outlook for the Mets fan. You know that. Look, as I'm suffering through, what are the Jets? Are they 0-12 yet? I can't even tell. I'm not paying attention. You know, this fall, I need the Islanders to start again. That's what I need.
I know. Hopefully January the 1st. And yes, you're right. The New York Jets are 0-8. Oh, but that's after they play Kansas City on Sunday. But nonetheless, listen, you're in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, even though he has COVID, and he might not be a big fan of New York. Or the Jets, let's say. But you know what? You can only hope and you can only dream, and that's what we do as sports fans. Listen, we can only dream of your next visit as far as our next discussion. We look forward to that in November, my friend. You stay well, stay healthy.
You too, Jay.
Appreciate it all. You know that. Rich Heumann getting his insight, valuable insight, as far as everything going around from an economic sense.